Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're at this evening. Hebrews chapter 11. We looked at the faith of Moses' parents last week. This week, we're going to explore Moses' faith as Scripture deals with it here. And I contemplated going back and forth whether or not to go back and go through each individual event as Hebrews deals with this in the life of Moses. But rather than doing that, it would take some length of time to do that. We're going to stay right here in Hebrews chapter 11. This being a Sunday evening crowd, I hope that you're familiar enough with Moses that we can just reference some of these events and make the application as to his faith and what is taking place here. So let's begin reading verse number 23, because this is where we were at last week, and we're going to read down through verse number 29. The Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned." So we see here several times where the Bible is saying, "By faith Moses." It says it in verse number 24. "By faith Moses," in verse number 27, it indicates, "By faith he," of course, that being Moses, in verse number 28, "through faith he," and then "by faith they," talking about the children of Israel being led by Moses, and we'll see the effects of this faith that Moses had. So let's pray together, and we'll get started tonight. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you, I pray that you would just fill us with your power tonight, God, that we might hear from you as we explore this again, this topic of faith. And God, I pray that our faith through this study would be strengthened. May it not just be strengthened, but Father, may it increase, that we may trust in thee and thee alone. Help us through this tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now here again we have several different events taking place in the life of Moses that we're just going to highlight tonight, but I want to make three statements that pertaining to faith that Moses kind of left behind concerning the faith life that he had. And it was certainly a life of faith. It wasn't just a moment of faith. And may I encourage you, and may I encourage myself tonight, to live our whole entire lives by faith. May it not just be glimpses of it. May it not just be parts of it. But may our entire life and every event that we come to and every moment of our lives, may it be kept and may it be filled with faith in God to do what only God can do. In verse number 23, we start with Moses' parents' faith. Of course, as we looked at that last week, it says, "By faith, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents." Now, of course, this was not Moses' faith here. Even though it does say by faith Moses, but it gives us some explanation there. When he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. So we find this is the faith of his parents, not Moses' faith here. But notice again it says in verse 23 that they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And we explored that last week as we looked at the statements that their life of faith exhibited. And tonight, as we look at the life and the faith of Moses, I want you to look at verse number 24, because it starts off by saying, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." I want you to notice, first off, the traits displayed by Moses' faith. The traits that were displayed by Moses' faith. Now, I bring about verse number 23 because Moses had he didn't have necessarily a special birth, but it was evident from the time of his birth that there was something special about him. We mentioned last week about the possibility of what Moses' mother was contemplating at the time when they said, you have a son. But the Bible says that when she saw he was a proper child, that they were not afraid of the king's commandment, and they hid him for 3 months. We know that as they put him in that ark of in the bulrushes, Pharaoh's daughter found him, and he was raised for the first, what we would suspect would be the first couple of years, by his own mother as she nursed him and then returned him, which is kind of funny. His own mother returned him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter as Pharaoh's, adopted grandson. And was raised in the ways of the Egyptians. He was raised in that. But something took place in Moses' life when he came to years. Now, we're not exactly sure what the coming of years would be in this particular time frame for us. If you can imagine, for us in our culture, in our society, we would say at 18 years, that would be the coming of age. That is when children are most likely to leave the house and discover their own path in life and follow, hopefully, young people, listen to this, hopefully you're going to follow the will of God for your life when you turn 18 and 21 and 25 and 35 and 45. Amen? That we would follow the will of God for our life. That is what we are to do. And so Moses, when he was here, we see this this separation that is getting ready to take place. Now, I want you to take note of something here, because this was probably a very difficult decision on behalf of Moses. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. This is not just, being raised at Shane's house. That would have been exciting, I'm sure, for Moses there. But he wasn't raised with Brian and Melissa. No, he was raised with Pharaoh's daughter. Now, what would you suspect would come with growing up in Pharaoh's daughter's house? Anybody? The best. The best food, the best clothes, the best houses, the best of everything. I mean, Moses didn't want for anything, more than likely. Unless Pharaoh's daughter herself was an outcast, which there's nothing to indicate that she was. And so we would, by reason of him growing up with Pharaoh's daughter as his mother raising him, it would be easy to draw the conclusion that Moses didn't want for anything. And so now here he is, he's come to his own years, and he's getting ready to make a decision to separate himself and refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Well, if you go back to the book of Exodus, and you don't have to turn there right now, again, I told you we're going to highlight some of these things, but Moses, while he was out and watching, he saw an Egyptian soldier who was beating some of the Israelites that were in bondage. Now, we know that the Egyptians and the Israelites looked different. There was an obviousness that Moses was not an Egyptian, even though he was raised as an Egyptian. He knew those were his people, and there was something that spoke in his heart. There was something that spoke in his mind when he observed that cruelty, when he observed what was taking place there, that he said, I don't like that. And he, again, didn't seek anybody's permission. He didn't seek anybody's idea on what should be done. He took those matters into his own hands, and he found that Egyptian soldier, and he killed him, and he buried him in the sand. That's what he did. Refusing, the Bible says here in Hebrews, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, not knowing what Pharaoh would do to him, he left Egypt. The Bible describes him as going to the backside of the desert, separating himself by faith, the Bible describes. By faith. Again, what is faith? Faith is not necessarily knowing what God's will is for our life, but it is seeking God's will and then being called to action to do and follow what God's will is for our lives. So that is exactly what Moses was doing here as he had this birth and these traits described and displayed in Moses' life as he separated himself. I want you to look past verse number 24 as we see not just the traits displayed by Moses' faith, but may we see the testimony decided by Moses' faith. In verse number 24, again, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You see, it indicates to us here in these verses that Moses did have a somewhat of a lavish lifestyle. He had somewhat of this, but I want you to notice again in verse number 24 and again in verse number 27 where the Bible says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You see, Moses, his faith led him to make the right commitments. What is your faith leading you to do? And I would dare say that when we have the proper faith in our God, our faith will also always lead us to make the right commitments. Notice our faith in God will not lead us into a path that would be contrary to what God would want. And it was by faith and through the faith of Moses that he made the right commitments. Faith enabled him to make those. Not only did he make the right commitments, but he made the right choices. Our faith will enable us to choose God's way over what might be or might seem to be an easier way. And it probably would have been easier for Moses to stay put, to stand up if it ever came out that Moses killed this Egyptian. It probably would have been easier for Moses to say, very simply, I didn't do that. How dare you blame me? Don't you know who I am? We know what we saw. No. They're trying to cover up what they did. And he probably would have gotten away with it. But Moses had faith. You see? As Moses had this faith, it allowed him and it made him, enabled him, if you will, to choose God's way over the way that might be easier. This was a calculated decision. As Moses is, again, we have his testimony here in Hebrews chapter 11, but this testimony was decided by his faith. What did he calculate? Well, the Bible tells us. He calculated this. In verse number 26, he says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. We ought to do our best when it's time to make a decision. All right, if I decide this, what are the consequences? And I've said this before, and we need to make sure that we understand this, that there are good consequences and there are bad consequences. But what is the cost? What is this going to cost me? If I choose X instead of Y, what will it cost? Well, Moses calculated this, and he esteemed. That means he lifted up. He raised up the reproach of Christ, thinking, knowing, having faith that greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You see, the reward of Egypt was right here, right now. And sometimes it's so difficult for us to look past that because we see it right in front of us. If I choose this, this is what I have. But it is by faith that when we say, no, I'm going to choose God's way. Oh, yes, I'm going to choose God's way because I may not be able to see it, but I know the recompense of the reward. Notice it says, as he made this decision, as he made the right calculations, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. My best guess here is when Moses was walking through the desert, he comes up upon that bush. No one else around. And that bush burned with fire. The Bible says that as that bush burned with fire, that it wasn't consumed. Now, I don't know. I try to visualize things like this and try to picture in my mind, but I just have a hard time picturing this in my mind. A bush that's not consumed. I had a bright idea a few years ago. We had a Christmas tree, a real Christmas tree, and Rachel wanted me to get rid of it and wanted me to get rid of it and wanted me to get rid of it. And Brother Don, it was one of those times that just because you ask me to do something now doesn't mean you have to remind me every 6 months to do this. And it was one of those moments. And so finally, rather than taking it to the parking lot where they dispose of trees, I thought, man, this would be a great idea. I'll just burn it, Dennis. It was honestly one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen. I laid the tree down. I didn't even take the stand off of it. She was so mad. And I just lit a match and threw it. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest way to dispose of a tree. I'll never take another one to a Christmas tree lot. One match, one tree. Every pine needle was engulfed. The tree flames just going everywhere. It was the most awesome kindling I've ever seen. It was really spectacular. Consumed. And we had some frost that was on the ground. And I think the coolest part was that once all it was done, all that was left was some ash in the shape of a Christmas tree all the way to the stand on the end. That's what it was in the ground. It was pretty spectacular to me. I guess maybe should have been there. You can try it yourself. Wait till about February, though. Get it real nice and dry and all of that. But whenever we burn something, can you imagine a leaf not being consumed? Can you imagine a berry, if there were berries on there, that nothing was going on with them, but yet the tree or the bush, the bush was still burning? And not only was the bush burning, but the bush was talking. For he heard a sound out of the bush that said, hey, take your shoes off, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Amen. See, he made the right calculations. Because it says here in verse number 27 that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I could ask the question. Sometimes I hesitate. This isn't a big Pentecostal crowd, so I think I'm safe in asking, but how many of you have seen God? No one. No takers. Good. That's good. I can't remember who it was. Saw a 500-foot-tall Jesus in his bedroom. Really? Really? You imagine the ridiculousness of that? Of course not. But Moses, get this phrase. He saw him who is invisible. He saw him, but yet he didn't see him. Are you with me? He saw him, but he didn't see him. And by faith, he followed him. Can you see God tonight? He's invisible. But can you see the effects of God in your life? Now, God doesn't choose to speak to us in an audible voice any longer, but He does choose to speak to us in His Word. And as we get in this Word and as we dig into it and as we see it, I'm telling you, we can see a God who is invisible. We must be in it. And by faith, we can trust in Him. By faith, we can have these traits. By faith, we can have a testimony that decides something. May we decide that we're going to have the right commitments and the right choices, that we might calculate exactly that it's worth serving God. I close with this tonight as we look beyond that into verse number 28 and verse number 29. It says, through faith, He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest He that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. I tell you tonight that while the traits were displayed by Moses' faith and while his testimony decided by Moses' faith, I tell you the testings were devoured by Moses' faith. The Passover. You're getting ready and trying to leave Egypt. And God comes to Moses and says, you tell everybody, something's going to take place. You need to place some blood above the door. And as that blood is there, the death angel is going to pass over. And any house and any home that doesn't have the blood applied, safe and secure, the firstborn will be taken by death. And any home that has that blood that's there, not only will the firstborn, but everyone else in the home will be safe. Through faith, he kept it. Through faith, he went and he told all the Israelites, place the blood, put the blood up, put the blood up. Go, make your sacrifice, get you some blood, put it on the door, put it on the post. Put it there. Why, Moses? Well, God says if you don't have it, your firstborn is going to die. Now, you know, I wonder, I mean, we don't have a large crowd tonight or anything like that, but I just wonder how many of us would just say, nah. I mean, let's think about this for a moment. How hard was it to just go get some blood, place it over the door, and go to sleep that night? If you didn't believe it. Wouldn't you think that'd be pretty easy? I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but just in case, I'll put it up there. Can you imagine not, I mean, just thinking, that's just Moses. Oh yeah, remember he said he saw a burning bush. Huh? Can you imagine? But I wonder if we were faced with the same thing tonight, how many would go home and say, no. I don't believe that. Only to wake up to the death of the firstborn. The Bible describes the screams of mothers and fathers throughout all of Egypt that next morning as the death angel rolled through. And by faith, Moses devoured that test. All right. Moses, you win. Your God wins. Get out of here. Just go. We're done. Go. We don't even know how long it took Pharaoh to change his mind. But all of Israel left. Moses said, come on, let's leave this land of bondage. Come on. I wish I had a map I could show you where they left Egypt and the journey they took and till they got to the Red Sea. And as they're there, probably, you know, many of them thinking, hey man, we're not in Egypt anymore. Woohoo! Hey man. Maybe giving high fives, time to rest, no work. What are we gonna do? What's tomorrow gonna be like? And someone on the tail end of that journey looks back. Off in the distance to see a realm of soldiers coming after them. All right, what are we going to do? Moses looked to God. We have many times in life like that, don't we? What are we going to do? Do we look to God? Or do we just try to figure it out? Well, Moses looked to God. He said, hold your rod out. And I know I use this all the time, but it's fascinating. So Moses stretched that rod out. One part of the sea went this way. One part of the sea went that way. And the Bible described the children of Israel, even in Hebrews. Verse number 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. There wasn't mud. It was dry. Imagine how much had to be moved in order for them to cross on dry ground. Imagine how tall that water should have been, could have been. 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet, I have no idea. Wonder how wide it was. It was wide enough for the armies of Pharaoh to think they could get a chariot through. It was wide enough for everyone to get through in a timely manner. We know that they were at least halfway, or at least far enough halfway, where Moses, when he dropped the rod as they pursued through the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army, and when he dropped it down, the waters crashed in on him. How'd they do it? By faith. By faith. You see, faith is a powerful force in our life. By faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It was faith that saved the Israelites, and it is faith that saved us. It was faith that through the testings that Moses had was devoured by faith. The testimony that was decided by faith. The traits that were displayed in Moses' life were displayed by faith. You know, I know there's not any of us in this room tonight that is of really any great significance, and I hope you don't take offense to that. But none of us are of any great significance. But we all do have a story to tell. We all have a legacy that we're going to leave behind. I don't know how many generations you can go back in your family to know who they were, and I know we have ways we can do that now in family trees, and we can find out as much as we can. But I'll tell you, through our culture, if this culture lasts, which my goodness, it's looking bleak, isn't it? But man, we record everything today. Just went to the bathroom. Bought some new shoes. You know, we record everything. We share everything. And they say everything on the internet is, it's there forever. You can even delete and bleach it and they come back. Not trying to get political here, but hey, even the things we try to delete and cover up and hide. But I wonder, what type of legacy are we leaving? Are we leaving a legacy of faith? May it be said of us when we're old and gray and even beyond the old and gray and dead and gone, if the Lord tarries. May it be said of us to our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, may we have enough faith that they're still talking about it 4 and 5 generations from now. No one else may know about our faith, but may they know. what will be spoken of you? And here we are, some 4,000 years removed, well, probably more like 2,000 or 3,000 years removed from Moses and these people in the Old Testament, and yet we're still talking about it. Moses' faith was so impactful that the writer of Hebrews chose to write about it. The faith of Moses was so impactful that God chose to preserve it even for us today. What about your faith? Do you even think in those lines? Of thinking, of choosing that, hey, this might affect 100 years from now. We never know. What is your life? The Bible says it's even but a vapor, but our testimony will last. May we be known as people of a great faith. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. The trait.